Welcome to Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God, a production of Lion's Share, a ministry that aims to co-mission with Jesus in making disciples of all nations. We ignite and provide resources to disciple makers in the church and throughout the vocations. In our world today, there is more information available than at any time in history, but wisdom is in short supply. In this podcast, you'll hear how learning about the character and ways of God is a guide to wisdom.
Hi, this is Sonia Bearson, and we welcome you and Dave Buring, the founder and president of Lion's Share, to this episode where we're going to be talking about how every job, every vocational field that we encounter is rooted in the character of God. Dave, as you know, the name of this podcast is Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God. So let's start there. How do the ways of God affect our perception of the character of God, and how is that expressed in our work?
So when we're talking about the ways of God, we mean how God goes about doing things. And when we see God in Scripture, the way He does things really is an overflow of who He is. And so because who He is love, He, an overflow of His ways is that He sends His Son to die for us. And the idea again is here Jesus lays down His life for others. And so when I have people reading the Scriptures, one of the things that I will say to them, not to be jarring, but just to kind of get their attention to look at the Scriptures a little bit differently, is I'll say never stop at what the Bible just says. Rather, take what the Bible says and dig it a little bit further into God's character, like the character of the one that is saying these things, doing these things. Who is he? What is he really like? And one of the things that I've done over the years is I've highlighted in my Bible the various attributes of God's character. And I used a purple pencil and they're all highlighted. So when I open my Bible, the character of God really screams at me. And I see it on every page, in every passage, in every story, in every truth. And part of that for me is I just want to get to know God's character better, what he's really like, because none of us really want to be misrepresented, do we? We want to be known for who we really are. And so we have to begin by looking at God's character. And as just I was walking this walk over the years, it dawned on me, I can't even remember right now how, but it dawned on me that every single one of the vocations or places where maybe we work, our careers, all that. We're using the word vocation to mean all of that, especially when you know that you've been called to it. They're all rooted in God's character. So for example, and Sonia's going to help lead us through categories here, but let me just illustrate one here for you. So when you think about God is the one who gave specifics on how he wanted Noah's ark to be built. He wanted gopher wood. He wanted it this size, this wide, these things in the basement of the boat, so to speak, and these things up top. And he lays out this whole thing. He does the same thing with the Ark of the Covenant. He gives descriptions with the temple. So let me just say it this way, God the builder. Like he gets what construction is like. He gets the building world. He understands that. And it's the whole dynamic of construction and building things and all that. I want you to see that God is not disengaged from it. Rather, he is so engaged in it because it's part of who he is, God the builder. Therefore, if that is a particular role that you function in or someone in your family or friend functions in, you need to see that there's a bit of what we could call holiness to that particular calling. Because God's heart is that that person who is in that particular vocation would express God's character to others by doing that well, stewarding that well, having great the attitudes of Jesus in it, serving other people through it. So that vocation becomes an expression through that life of God's character.
Dave, what would you say to people who heard that example and said, well, I'm not called to construction. That's just my job right now. Does this impact me?
Yeah. So One of the things that we like to look at and we talk about here in our lion's share world and as we're serving people is helping people to come to the place in their life of realizing that God calls us to different things at different times. Now, some of this has to do with seasons of life that you may be in. Like if you're younger, God is focusing usually in your 20s and 30s more on building you on the inside so that what he wants to push through you when you hit maybe a greater stride in life, you've got the character to be able to sustain that. So let's say you're 25 years old, you're out of college, you got a summer job before you're jumping into your other job that you want to do and you're working construction for a while, paying the bills and all that. Well, God has called you to that job at that time, especially if you, which as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to do is seek the Lord about, God, what's my next step? What do you have for me? Let's say God opens up this particular job for you. Well, you may not make it a career, but in that season of time, God's called you there. So then you can say, Lord, what are the lessons to be learned here? What are the character development spots that I can grow in? What can I glean from those that are my leaders? So That's a way to look at it. But the bigger picture is that, again, I keep hearing statistics, and they're always between 80 and 90%. So I'm not going to just give you a flat number, but they're always in between there. 80, 90% of people don't like their jobs. They don't like waking up, getting dressed in the morning, brushing teeth, trying to throw their lunch together because they don't like going to what they're doing. And can I just tell you, you've been made for more than that. You have been made for more than that. There's a calling of God on your life. And it also has to do not just with being a son and daughter of God and being a servant, but with in and through your vocation. So, Sonia, I like to look at this through the lens of where has God called us to serve in society for his glory and the benefit of other people.
And I think as you describe that, the word that comes to mind for me is this is actually a lens or a filter that you can put onto a job that maybe you're not that excited about, because it gives you not just context, but it gives you a little bit of a purpose, right? But also in addition to that, you know, the example you were talking about with Noah, the character of God that I see coming out of that is that, number one, he cares about details. Right? He cares about the specificity of things. Mm-hmm. He also cares about creating things.
Yeah.
And there's also a consistency to God that I see when someone creates or builds things. So that's kind of the character piece that I see. Let's move on to arts, entertainment, and sports. And there's probably a reason you have lumped these together, but how does that vocational fields, how do those vocational fields express the character of God?
Yeah. So for me, you know, my wife is an artist. She paints with coffee of all things. And so, you know, I watch this incredible image emerge from a blank piece of paper. And last night we were out to dinner and some people didn't know Cheryl did this. And they asked, do you have any of those with you? And I carry them on my phone. And so I showed them and it was fun for me to see them ooh and awe a little bit over a piece of paper that was nothing. And later it had this incredible image on it. You know, we think of actors and actresses. We think of dancers. We think of, for me, to watching a little round ball hit by a round bat traveling some 400 feet in the night sky with lights on it over a fence. We see all kinds of artistry, even in meals prepared. I had one of those last night. I was just telling Sonia about that. It was delicious. But a chef that created a very special meal to an event we were invited to last night. Think about concerts that you go to. So the idea that I want us to understand here is arts and entertainment and sports provide us with a way to see, taste, hear, smell, and touch life. At times they confront us and they light us up deep within, creating lifetime loves and loyalties to people or sports teams or music or those kinds of things. And one of the things that we need to realize is that in the scriptures, we see that this there's times it talks about the beauty of the Lord. And I think arts, entertainments, and sports expresses the beauty of the Lord. It reveals God's beauty. You know, just think of that song that you heard that just hit you so deeply at the deepest parts of your life. Or again, a play executed in sports, or, you know, on and on we could go. God's spoken of as a craftsman in Exodus 35. He was the designer in Genesis 1:21 of the very first garments that we had. And we see hospitality and culinary expressions of entertaining being rooted in God's character. And then, you know, the last thing, and again, we see sports and different things in Scripture, but maybe on this one is we see God's joy released in Zephaniah 3:17 as he sings over us. So that's just a little snapshot that I think helps us see how arts, entertainment, sports are connected to God's character.
And I think that's interesting because a lot of times we would look at this vocational, though these vocational fields through the prism of glory and excitement and platform. But I think there's a little bit in there when we talk about being rooted in the character of God of discipline.
Yes.
I think it's pretty easy to see from athletes that it requires discipline in order to do well. But any musician will tell you, any movie producer, actor, you know, gaffer, lighter will also tell you there's discipline in order to make that song or that movie or that, you know, sculpture that you've made. In order for it to be presented in its most beautiful way, there has to be discipline.
Yes.
And God not only requires discipline from us, he's very disciplined. He's very constant. And like you said, you know, he's the creator. So he knows a lot about beauty.
Yes.
Let's also talk about business. How is the character of God expressed in business?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I appreciate about business people is they're get-or-done kind of folks, as we often say here, you know, living in Tennessee. And I appreciate the way that they focus on accomplishing tasks. And again, we have large sprawling corporations, regional franchises. You could have the small local business that has served for years. And then you got the mom and pop kind of operations, all these kinds of things that create products and services that serve us so well. Some are focused locally, some are focused globally. But it's always interesting to me how these owners of business can have a huge impact in a community just by being steady and faithful and open, by looking for ways to take the resources they have and reinvest it into their own communities. And when you think about the character of God related to business, let me just give you a couple of pieces on this. So, you know, the scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy 10, 1 Chronicles 29, Psalm 50, and other places that God owns it all. Okay, he owns it all. And see, a business owner thinks that way. They own a piece of that pie. Well, God owns it all. We also see in Genesis 1-3 in creation, God exercising or flexing his entrepreneurial muscle. He creates something out of nothing. All right. We see Jesus sharing parables about the landowner, the wise builder, the owner of the vineyard. In some of these stories, we see that the owner expects a return on their investment. And I always find that with businesswomen and businessmen, they expect a return on their investments. Well, God is that way as well. One of the things that I like about God, the business person, is that it is rooted, his business model, if I could say it that way, is rooted in both fruitfulness and multiplication. All right. And if you look at it through the lens of Scripture, you'll see that there's always good fruit so that things get accomplished. It's productive. It blesses others. And there's a multiplication part to it where it can have greater ramifications than what you even know. One of the things I want to note about this is that God's central focus is the kingdom and not money. And that's an important thing for godly business people. God's giving you resources to steward, but are you referencing the kingdom? Because God, the business person, the reality is he's focusing first on the kingdom and then provides the resources to get it done.
We've also talked a lot about the church and missions, and perhaps that's the most obvious one that God is involved in, and has talked about the church being the bride of Jesus. Let's talk about education. I think the character of God is expressed in education because he is our teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus was the rabbi. Mm-hmm. He is our teacher. So I think that's also very easy to see in the character of God. He wants to raise us to the standard of really listening to his teaching, the responsibility of being the teacher. There's so much in that world of education. What about environment and agriculture and zoology? People might not look at these fields as something being rooted in the character of God.
Yeah. And this one kind of brings up God the gardener, doesn't it? Because it all begins in a garden that God created. And we need to be reminded in Genesis 1:9 that he said, "It is good," when it was all done. Water, land, plants, trees, fish, birds, animals of all kind. And then he gives those the responsibility of stewarding those to Adam and Eve. And so we need to realize, and again, we've got people on extremes with environment of, you know, protecting everything down to the nth degree, to people who are just, don't worry about it. Let's just meet the needs we have. And somewhere in here, we need to be able to come to that place and recognize, okay, God, what is your ways in this? Because he actually tells us to steward creation, which means it's his, but he's lending it to us to steward. And sometimes through selfishness and greed, like I like to use the illustration of water pollution. You know, how hard is it for us to be able to put garbage away where it needs to be put it? That's a new word, Sonia, where it needs to be put. But instead, what we can do is we can contaminate waters in such a way that the downstream effect of it, literally, you know, or generationally, destroys all kinds of things. And so we need godly people to be able to make sure that decisions are being made in the environmental realm for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of generations, the people that are around now, and not just out of lens of selfishness, irresponsibility, or greed. And so when you think about God's character, first again, he's the creator of the earth and everything in it. He relates to all of his creation. That's an important thing. We see the way that clouds in the sky and lightning, and he's created animals and birds and trees. They're all sourced in him because he created it, all right? The other thing is, think about this. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens tell of the glory of God and the work of his hands." Isaiah 55, "The mountains and the hills burst into song, and all the trees of the field clap their hands." Revelation 5, "Every creature in heaven and earth, under the sea and on the sea, and all that is in them, they belong to God." He protects and preserves animals, as it's, we see in Genesis chapter 6. So I just want us to realize that there are some people, and I have some friends, who really feel called to this area. And we've got to allow ourselves, wherever we are today, to maybe realign and see this through a set of kingdom eyes, and in particularly God's character.
You can find each of these vocational fields and the verses, some of the verses that Dave has talked about, in his new book, The Great Opportunity, Making Disciples of Jesus in Every Vocation. And I think it's really important to go through each of these fields to help people understand that their work matters, mm-hmm. especially young people who are coming up in these professions and careers, for them to understand that their work, no matter what level they're at, is a calling, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of where they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break so you can hear about a special offer for podcast listeners, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about some other fields and how they're rooted in the character of God.
Here's a special offer for podcast listeners. When you purchase The Great Opportunity, Making Disciples of Jesus in Every Vocation at lionshare.org, enter the discount code PODCASTBUNDLE, all one word. You'll receive an additional book by Dave Buring called The Jesus Blueprint. Learn why and how to disciple someone else who works in your field. Go to lionshare.org today. Remember, buy The Great Opportunity and enter the discount code PODCASTBUNDLE, all one word, to receive your free book.
And we're back. Now, next, we're going to talk, Dave, about family. And people might say, Dave, what are you talking about? Family is work? Or I guess we know it's work, but does it fall under a vocational field? How is that rooted in the character of God?
Yeah, I think, you know, family is one of those things where we're all a part of one, and there's a certain level of ownership and responsibility that we have in it. But I also know there are some people who feel their whole calling is around family. And so I want to honor those people. One of those actually is my own wife. When we were first spending time together, one of the things as we were talking about potential future together, she said, I really feel first and foremost called to be a wife, a mom, and one day, you know, of course, a grandmother that would come along as well. She's known as Nana now, lovingly to our kids. And so there are some that really feel like it's their primary purpose for being here, their primary central place. So there's others too, Sonia, who they are called to help out with families. And so there's various vocations out there where they can be invested in family, focusing on family issues and things that are important to family. So it's to those people that this whole vocation is focused. And this one's a little bit easier, to be really honest, to help you see how this is rooted in God. Obviously, God is called our Father. It's one of God's favorite names to be identified with in the scriptures is Father. There's a tender expression in the Hebrew, Abba, which means more daddy. The church is affectionately known as Jesus's bride. Okay. God identified himself with the children of Israel and speaks in a generational or familiar way as he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, the scriptures also teach us that he chose a people to belong to him who were called by his name. And so, you know, my kids' last names are Bearing, and my son's, you know, kids' their last names are Bearing, and my daughter, who's now a Holman, her kids are Holman, but there's a name that's passed on. So we just need to recognize that everything from God calling us his sons and daughters to be adopted as children into his family, there's just a lot there that roots us in the character of God around family.
And I think this is a good place to say that we don't always live in one vocational field.
That's right. Right?
You are called primarily, actually, to be a father. To be a dad. Mm-hmm. Working in this field may also mean adopting and fostering children, mm-hmm. bringing them into your family. Mm-hmm. If you're single, family could be everything from serving your parents, your siblings, and maybe even your larger family in the place of friends, mm-hmm. community through your church. Being a part of a larger family, I think especially in our world that is so spread out today, sometimes our blood relatives aren't even geographically close to us.
Yeah.
So I think we need to think about family in that way and what God intended it to be in his character, mm-hmm. versus sometimes the way it manifests itself. And you know, as you know, Dave, sometimes our misimpressions mm-hmm. of family affect the way we look at our faith. So
yes.
We could talk about family all day.
Yes.
But we're going to also mentioned that government, law, and nation security, which is a new word that Dave has invented, you know, is also rooted in the character of God. We've talked about government before, and obviously law and security of a nation or of a community. These things are all rooted in the character of God because he cares not only about rules, but also he cares about compassion. He cares mm-hmm. about integrity mm-hmm. in carrying out these things that affect so many parts of society. Dave, there's a huge field that encompasses health, medicine, and wholeness. Talk to me about that and how that's rooted in the character of God.
Mm-hmm. So when we say health, medicine, and wholeness, again, I want you to view these as like vocational umbrellas. They're broad umbrellas that encompass things that have similar impact. And so health, medicine, and wholeness deals with oftentimes our physical body. So when you think of health, you know, you may think of eating well and exercising and all that. Medicine, of course, we think of our doctors and our need there. And wholeness being more like the counselor, like it is well with my soul. Things are good. I've worked through some of the issues that have held me down over the years. So one of the things that we need to recognize is that God has made us physical. There's a spiritual component to our life. As we know, there's mental and emotional, and there's physical. So we have all those pieces, and God cares about all of it. Matter of fact, there's a portion of scripture, 3 John chapter 1, where it talks about our body, soul, and spirit, and how God sees us as a whole person. And the Bible talks about our bodies being his temple, his dwelling place, where he lives and expresses himself in and through our lives. So when you think about God's character attached to this, you know, he is our maker, all right? He's the source of our care. The Bible tells us in Job 33, he's the giver of life. He's the physician. He's the healer. I love that, you know, both in the Old and New Testament, talks about him being our counselor. And I love 2 Corinthians that talks about him being our comforter. And then, you know, some of Paul's writings, where there was, I think he's a bit of a sports fan in his world, he talks about really kind of the physical trainer. So when you see all these components, we need to realize if you serve in this vocation, God is expressing a part of his heart through you.
And let's not forget the great physician, right?
That's right.
Let's also mention media as being a vocational field. You've heard us talk about that before. And I think just something I want to point out about media is, you know, God, Jesus is the Word, right? Capital W. John talks about that from the very beginning. But he's also the truth. And that's what we're going after when we communicate things, when we report on things, when we are trying to convey information from one person to another, even on social media. Truth matters to God. So I think that is that field is definitely rooted in the character of God. Nonprofits and service organizations, same thing. Mm-hmm. Relational stuff, care. Right? Taking care of people, providing resources, equipping people, which is something we do. These are all things God cares about because what? He's the great provider,
yes.
Jehovah Jireh. Let's talk about science and technology because a lot of times God gets left out of this conversation because people mistakenly believe that science has nothing to do with God, that they're in opposition to each other, and technology is bad. It's just bad. So talk about that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is important for us is to recognize that in history, there have been many a scientist that has loved Jesus, and they saw things through the lens of scriptures. Galileo wrote, "The world is the work and the scriptures, the word of the same God." Amazing. All right. Johannes Kepler, a German mathematician, astronomer, a contemporary of Galileo, has expressed it this way: the tongue of God and the finger of God cannot clash, meaning the scriptures in the word and creation, the finger of God. And so we need to recognize this. And I think in the day that we're living in, Sonia, you know, has put a great emphasis here that it's really important that we take the time to connect these two. And I love to see when science validates what we know is true about God. And as time continues to go by, I think we're going to see more and more and more of this. And we desperately need people who feel called to this realm. So when I think about technology, it's one of my curious spots too, because when I was wrestling with how is technology attached to the character of God, and I realized one day that it's the processing speed. So, you know, we all, you know, whether it's a phone in the hand or our computers, we're used to having this processing speed. And of course, we get grumpy when it's too slow, but we love it when it's fast. And it dawned on me, this is God's connection, or one of them, to technology is his processing speed, because he knows right now in different parts of the world all the things that are going in the universe, what's going on right now at every moment, just like this, he knows. And technology has oftentimes to do, say, in our computer world with speed. Even that is rooted in God himself. Like God's speed blows away anything that we can ever imagine. And so I just want us to recognize that science and technology is not something we should run away from, be afraid of. Rather, we need to embrace and allow God's character to be expressed through them. When I look at the scriptures, for example, we need to realize he is the beginning and the end. We need to realize that the Bible tells us it's for him, by him, and through him that all things exist. He was and is and is to come. And I love this one because these two, I should say, because they tie into science and technology, is the Bible teaches us that God is unsearchable. And sometimes in the realms of science and technology, we're sitting there scratching our head. But it's also this one. It's a source of wonder. Like, I still wonder how I can get off an airplane, turn my phone on, you know, if I had it off, and all of a sudden there is text and email and there's all kinds of communication with me. How did that happen? And I sit there and wonder, but obviously there's many of you who serve in this area that could say, Dave, this is how that works. But see, science and technology, it's rooted in God's character.
You know, my kids hate it when Siri doesn't give them a good, quick, appropriate answer, and they yes. actually have to type something in there, or, you know, mom doesn't know the answer. What's wrong with you? You
yeah.
know, you're supposed to be smarter than me. You should know the answer to this. You know, Dave, as you were describing that, it also reminded me that it gives us a glimpse, a little bit of a taste of what, of who God is, right?
Yes.
What is omniscience and omnipresence,
yes.
omnipotent? You know, what do these words mean, right? Because we're not capable as humans as being any of that. And so I think technology gives us a glimpse at what that could be like. And I don't
yes.
mean in a, you know, creepy big brother way,
right?
But it gives us an opening, a glance at what that could look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our little human brains, it's hard to really understand all the parts of God in one place. Well, I think this is a really instructive discussion that you can start having with people in your world who work in different vocational fields. Even for you, as you look through what you do, whether it be anything from working in technology or working in education or focusing on family, or maybe, you know, arts is your thing, looking at it through the lens of not just the character of God, but that he cares because it reflects his character. And as I said before, all this is articulated. The verses are in there. In Dave's new book, The Great Opportunity, Making Disciples of Jesus in Every Vocation. This is a great starting point as you disciple someone, is to help them see how their work is rooted in the character of God. Well, thanks, Dave. We appreciate all of you joining us. And again, if you want to look at episode notes having to do with this episode, where you can hear some of the, read some of the verses that Dave talked about for each of these fields, you can look them up there. Go to lionshare.org/podcast. And of course, you can order The Great Opportunity on the website as well.
Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God is a production of Lionshare, a ministry that ignites and provides resources to disciple makers in the church and throughout the vocations. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you, please visit lionshare.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo.